Have you got the barbecue there, John? I'll do the lead-in and everything in just a second, but I want to...
Do the lead-in. I'm ready. As Johnny Dent says, there's nothing better than me, you know, eating barbecue, you know, like 11 p.m. Eastern time.
I had a very good meal with this a little while ago, and now I'm like, oh, God, I've got to eat more. I got to eat more of this.
More.
So all three of us are here. All three of us are here, of course. You know who's here.
I see you. I'm coming for you in the bull picking this year, Tigers.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 746.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. Let's watch some football. Now everybody.
Come on, everybody. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast, John. And not only that, it's the biggest show of the year, and we're doing it live. It's the AU Wishbone 2023 SEC Barbecue Special. Yeah! What do you think, John?
The Barbecue Spectacular.
Please clap.
The one everyone has been waiting for, and now it is here.
And not only that, but it's coming at a time where it may be 150 degrees outside, but...
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
Oh, yeah. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
He's over there on my screen. And we're here to talk about every team. I just told my wife, I said, I'm so full from dinner, and now I've got to have a 14-course meal to cap off the day. But, you know, we give.
We give. That's it.
We give for the audience, for Auburn, for the Auburn family.
And the Auburn wins the gives to us.
Yeah. So I'm going to let Boris have some of it, and I'm going to have most of it. And together we're going to somehow get through this. The barbecue is probably freezing by now. There's no doubt. We had one of our listeners go through and tell us how accurate the barbecue has been over the years, which is way more accurate than I would have ever guessed. And
you doubted?
I just kind of thought, you know. And I look back now, and I feel like what we got to do, John.
We got to get better at celebrating.
Yeah, I get better at celebrating because the barbecue has done us right. And I look at the barbecue and I say, I don't know if I can eat all of you. You might have to have some mercy on me. And the barbecue just says,
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Yeah, that's what the barbecue is saying. Oh, somebody didn't see him. So, yes, he pops up from time to time. You just have to keep your eye on the right part of the screen. It's the eye of the tiger. It's the king of the thing. There he is. He'll be popping up from time to time. So let's get right on to it then. I don't have, because today was the first day back to work. Today I had a podcast all afternoon. I had to go all the way to Fairview Heights, other side of the interstate, to get the barbecue. I had no time today to prepare an audio production for the picks. So what I'm going to do, I guess, is I'll just do random soundboard sounds when it's time to reveal what the barbecue has told us. Is that satisfactory, sir?
I like it. We could take some requests for certain teams,
maybe. Yeah, that's good. So I got, let's reveal, we get into this, hold on. Oh, before we do anything else, I almost forgot. It's the Auburn Fun Meter, John. It's our weekly look at my voice sounds terrible. It's our weekly look at how much fun it is to be an Auburn fan this week, where on barbecue night, I will point out, where is your Auburn fun meter pointed at tonight?
It is one of the funner nights of the year. We've had the second scrimmage, got a good commitment today. I'm going to say right this minute, I'm an 8. But I want, if you are in the chat on YouTube, I want you to put a number in the chat of where you are on the fun meter while Van reveals this.
Good call. Good idea. Yeah, I'm going to say 8 sounds pretty good because it's higher than normal because it's the barbecue show and we're getting ready for football. It's almost on us. Boris, where is your Auburn fun meter tonight, as if I don't know?
11. It's always 11.
Fools. Thanks, Boris, for coming and insulting us. All right, so let's see. Jeremy's a 9. Josh is a 9. Ben's an 8. Bo Nose is an 11. There's Kathy. Hey, Kathy. 8 was my number 2. Logan's a 10. Prospect Video, 9.5. David Slinko, 6. He says, happy but not over the moon. Need a win to get to 7 or up. It'll be a 12. Oh, Ben said the magic words, John. And you know, really, it kind of is an extended. It is kind of an extended.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
There you go. There it was.
Hashtag UMass Hate Week 2023. That's what I want to see.
There they are.
That's right. That's right. That's right. All right. So, we got a few others coming in. Johnny Dent says NA. Chris B says an 8. 12. Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, we just picked up another Falk 8. That's a good one. WD Richie says 8. Good. So tell us who we picked up before we get into the barbecue. That's a pretty big thing when we get a big 4-star recruit. So tell us really quickly what you know about him.
He is Keldrick Falk's younger brother, also plays at Highland Home, I believe. And he is a 2020 class of 2025. So he's a 4-star in next year's recruiting class. So he is going to be a junior in high school, not someone who's going to be a senior in high school and sign and enroll in, you know, December potentially. So. But he's still, it's a big get. A lot of big schools wanted him, and some people didn't think we'd get him. So.
And he knows what's up. People know what's up. They got the word.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
And the word has gotten out there.
The word is out there.
The word, and the word is the bird, and the bird is the war eagle. So that's very good. So we've already got a big commitment for 2025, and we're still working on 2024. Very good. So this is the annual barbecue show. We welcome all of you watching live, as well as folks listening to the podcast on audio tomorrow to us, which would be Tuesday to you or later. John, what are we doing here?
This is our annual tradition, Van, where we, in the tradition of, you know, the Greeks and the Romans and the Gauls and other historic peoples who interpreted events by certain things. Sometimes they would look at flocks of birds. They would, you know, disembowel a bull and see which way the intestines went. But also sometimes they would imbibe food and they would use that to, you know, divine the future from it. And that's what we're doing tonight. So because it's the SEC, we imbibe barbecue, and that allows us to divine the future records of these teams. And as Van indicated, we've had one of our listeners, Logan, did a great job pointing out what a good job the barbecue has done enlightening us so that we pick the record. So we'll go team by team, East first, then the West in alphabetical order with Auburn last. And we'll talk about we'll eat some barbecue each team. And then we'll talk about what we think the barbecue is telling us about that team. And then we'll go keep going. All right.
Excellent. Very well put. Now, before we actually get into our first team, where is your barbecue from? What do you have?
I have barbecue from a place in Richmond, Virginia that I like called Smoke. This is a pulled pork barbecue. I had the pulled pork jumbo sandwich Saturday night, basically, and warmed this up this evening. I have a little bit of mac and cheese left and just a piece of kind of wheat bread with it. I have a little bit of their sauce that I like. I don't need a ton of sauce with it, but a little bit occasionally. It'd be nice. So that's what I've got. What have you got, Ben?
I tell you, my sauce I had with dinner, but I forgot to put some in here. Well, maybe I did put some in here. I think I did. Is Tabasco brand habanero jerk barbecue sauce. It's spicy. It's got that kind of jerk flavor. Makes it really good on chicken and poultry as well as pork. It's so good. And so, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, Joel's just asking that. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like if you took a Sweet Baby Ray's and put some Tabasco in with it and some Caribbean spices. Oh, it's so good. So let me open up the little Tupperware here. So I went to Sugar Fire on Interstate 64 in Fairview Heights in Metro East St. Louis over here in Illinois. I've got the little container. I've got some pulled pork. And, of course, for South Carolina, I've got some poultry, the turkey. I've got a piece of cornbread. I've got some baked beans. They make really good baked beans. And I've got some hash brown casserole in that top corner on the very top corner there.
Nice.
And some macaroni and cheese. So a nice little selection this year. I bought some sides. Oh, and the best part. Oh, and here's another big chunk of the. Oh, everything's falling. Big chunk of the cornbread. They make this huge piece of cornbread. They wrap up in the plastic wrap, and that's all I haven't eaten yet. This is the best thing.
Question.
Yes.
Cornbread flavoring, how sweet?
They don't make it sweet, but it has kind of a honey thing running through it, so it's not traditional cornbread, but it's not sweet. It's kind of like a very chewy, almost like a syrup-based cornbread, which normally I would say was wrong, but it's so good, and it's not sweet, that I give it a thumbs up.
All right, I'm interested.
I got to tell you this. I walked into Sugar Fire, and the main pit master behind the counter, big dude with a beard, looks up at me and says, "Oh, is this the show night?" And I said, "The show?" And he goes, "The football show." And I'm like, "Yes, yes."
Yes, it is.
I hadn't even tweeted yet. I tweeted when I was leaving about it. I always tag them. They know. I told them last year what we were doing, and so they know. Oh, Joel says the hotter the sauce, the more accurate the prediction. Well, good, because I got a pretty spicy sauce here, so that's good.
I'm going to be in real trouble if that's the truth, Joel. So.
John's. Oh, Josh says no Reaper Madness. Thanks. I tell you what I do have is that we got the Chimney Rock sauce, and I haven't sent the three to John yet, which I will. But I didn't have the jalapeno yet because it was the mildest, but I've had the ghost sauce and the habanero sauce. The ghost sauce about killed me. It was right up there with the Reaper Madness. But the habanero was really good. It like smacked me in the face and slapped me around a little bit and dragged me around on the floor, but in a good way. In a good way.
I'm just glad it didn't kill you so we did not miss the show.
Yeah, right. So Boris has got his own little... Boris already had his little bowl that he tweeted out, so he doesn't need any of this. He can stay out of my barbecue. All right, let's get right on into it. Who is our first team we're going to look at?
The Florida Gators, man.
Oh.
Please clap.
Yeah, they need it. You know the one place we didn't go for this?
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
We did not go there this year. So I'm going to go randomly and say, as we get ready to go to the barbecue, John.
What we're dealing with here
in Florida
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Amen to that. I probably should say that for Georgia. Here we go. Oh, man. I'm not hungry anymore, but I could just swallow all this in one bite right now. Good Lord.
All right. What do you feel?
Well, the barbecue's been better in Florida. Damn. Oh,
it's one of those restaurants that used to be great, and now it's just kind of okay.
Yes, it's kind of Zaxby's. Florida.
Oh, shots fired.
Florida is the Zaxby's of college football, the SEC. Wow. Used to be spectacular. I'd go there all the time. Now, couldn't drag me in there.
I think it's okay, but it's not good.
Yeah.
And it's a little tough. And here's what I'm feeling with Florida.
Yeah.
Very tough schedule. And they lost a first-round quarterback. They got some talent coming back, but not a ton of talent. They play at Utah.
Uh-huh.
They get Florida State at home. They have to play at LSU, and they get Georgia.
Oh.
Okay?
That's three, and that's 1-3 at best.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they get Tennessee at home, but...
Not anymore. It's pretty good, yeah.
They have... two really good running backs. They have a good offensive line. I think they're going to run the ball and play defense. But their quarterback, they took a guy from the Big Ten named Graham Mertz from Wisconsin. He is terrible, man.
Wow.
He is legitimately bad. So, I think Florida's going to be okay, but not great. I'm going to say 7-5.
I was thinking 7-5. Let's go 7-5. Let it be written.
7-5 for Florida.
So let it be written, so let it be done. Oh, there's a really nice little schedule here I was going to bring up, but it's from Roll Bama Roll, so I can't.
Nope.
I can't.
I'm
I'm physically unable to click the button that would do that. So let me go to the one from SEC football. All right, there it is. It's got pop-ups and crap. Great. Let me just double check that. They're going to beat South Florida, Eastern Washington, Missouri, Vanderbilt. Oh my gosh, their basement is 4-8, and that's if they don't find a way to lose to Missouri or they could beat Kentucky.
But I mean, here's one of the things we're going to say up front. Florida, there's a whole big mass of teams in the SEC. They're pretty close together.
Yeah.
And especially you get some of these East teams, Florida, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, you know, a field goal here, somebody drops a fumble there,
there's
teams are all.
There's eight teams on their schedule that could easily beat them.
Yeah.
What did you say, 7-5?
Yeah.
That's
too generous?
That's the ceiling. I mean, yeah, that's the ceiling.
All right.
I'm
6-6.
I'm more comfortable with 6-6. I saw that they're picked to not even go to a bowl game by one of the major predictors.
Yeah.
Not even go to a bowl game. Florida. That's just no excuse for that. Get right with God, Florida. Come on now. Come on, man. Come on, Florida. Come on.
Come on. Come on, man.
All right, so that's Florida. Not good. Who's next?
Georgia.
Oh, my God.
There they are.
Respect for the
law. Are they not a shame on their country?
What
are they not a disgrace
with here
to all
is
seven?
A complete lack of respect for the law.
They got a bunch. Let's do it. Let's go to the barbecue. Oh, Georgia. Georgia. I'm getting some baked beans just for extra. We have to remind the audience.
Because
we always get this. People complain that we're eating on the air. That's the point. That's why we're here, is to eat on the air. If you don't want to see two guys eat barbecue on the air, then you're not watching the right show.
We're not going to mute every time we put barbecue on.
No,
the
no. We're here for that.
All right. Yeah. Georgia, it's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Got a little kick, a little smoke.
It's better than it ought to be, that's for sure. I'm not happy about how good that barbecue is.
Tastes like it spent some time in the back seat of a state trooper car, maybe. But
yeah, so the Georgia schedule, Oregon could be interesting, but you know what's going to happen there. We all do.
Well, I'm sorry, you're looking at last year's.
Oh, I was like, why are they playing them again?
They play the 45th toughest schedule in America and the easiest schedule in the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, here it is. Now, okay, looks exactly the same. So, UT Martin, Ball State, South Carolina, UAB, over.
UAB and Georgia Tech are their non-conference games. Now, there's a reason they were supposed to play Oklahoma, and the SEC made them cancel the Oklahoma series because the second game was going to be after Oklahoma was a conference team.
Yeah, that happened to us in 2024, kind of weird thing. Yeah, we're one of the two or three hardest teams on their schedule.
We are.
Again, good Lord.
They're the favorite, and they have the easiest schedule.
I don't see them losing any of these games.
I did talk about they're replacing the offense coordinator, Monken, with Bobo, who we have some familiarity with. But the talent level and the easiness of the schedule, I think you're correct, Van. If they lose, it's going to be an SEC title game or after. So,
Boris is not happy that I'm saying they're going to beat us.
I'm not happy either. And we'll talk about Auburn when we get there, but yeah, the barbecue says what it says.
Barbecue speaks, and we are mere interpreters.
We're vessels. That's right.
That's what we do. All right. Let's get that unpleasantness out of the way. Who's next?
The Mildcats.
Ugh.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Let's go to the barbecue, John. They're close enough to South Carolina, I'm going to have a little bit of the turkey.
Spiritually, or?
There have been times I've wanted to give Kentucky the bird. I got to get some macaroni and cheese this time. Lord have mercy. Well,
it's okay. And I think it's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, that's been the case for a while now.
That's right.
I mean, Ball State, Eastern Kentucky, Akron, Vanderbilt. Has there ever been an SEC team to get an easier start than that? If they don't go 4-0, they're in serious trouble. Then they got Florida.
They have to, because it gets a lot tougher in the second half.
Florida, and then Georgia, boom. Then Missouri, and then an off day before Tennessee. At Mississippi State, Alabama. At South Carolina, at Louisville. All right, so South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, for sure. Should beat them.
Don't forget, Florida had, until recently, had beaten them like 25 times.
Oh, I know. So the barbecue is kind of whispering at me, 7-5, 7-5. But I don't know. Is that 8-4, 7-5? What are you thinking?
I think 7-5.
Yeah.
I think 7-5. Again, talent to do a little better. Good quarterback they got from NC State, a guy that we wanted, Devin Leary. He's good. He's going to be very successful there. But, and they got their offensive coordinator back from the NFL. Georgia, Alabama, like you said, Tennessee, Louisville's a little better. They got a better coach now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I think their ceiling is about 8-4, but they could drop as far as 6-6, just depending on how things shake out.
Yeah. I think they're right in that 6-6 to 8-4 window, and it wouldn't shock me if they hit the 8-4 thing, but I think 7-5 is the right call.
All right, well, we're zipping right on through the SEC East. Who's next?
Your neighbors.
Yes.
The Missouri Tigers.
What the hell is the world coming to? And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
Let's go to the barbecue. I think I got a little more. I'm trying to save the pork, but I got to have some turkey for South Carolina. They make some good baked beans there. Need a little more hash brown casserole. Oh, good heavens, John.
Missouri is appropriate for hash brown casserole.
I say this.
Yeah.
Not only is it our biggest show of the year, it's our most delicious show of the year. All right, Missouri. Let's look at the schedule and see what we think, what the barbecue thinks. South Dakota, Middle Tennessee, Kansas State. Oh, you still think you're in the Big 12. Memphis, that's not a bad start. And then at Vanderbilt. So, again, you got another team that could start 4-1, 5-0, depending. Then you got LSU. You're at Kentucky. South Carolina, I think, is going to be sneaky good. You got a break before you play Georgia. It's not going to make any difference. And, man, your tail end is Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Arkansas. So is Missouri going to end the season? Oh, my gosh, John, look at this. Missouri could start the season 5-0 and end 5-7.
Pretty good.
They could start 5-0 and lose 7 games straight very easily. And we did that on the show 10 years ago. Once that ball starts rolling, though, it may be hard. So I kind of want to say 5-7 is their ceiling.
I think it is. I think Kansas State is good. I think they're probably going to lose that game. Mm-hmm. I think Memphis is a neutral site kind of toss-up game.
Mm-hmm.
They got LSU, Georgia, Tennessee. I think they returned some good players, and they recruited a couple of guys recently. They have a decent offensive line, but I don't think they have enough difference makers for that schedule. And so, I think the barbecue's telling me 6-6 is the peak.
Oh, barbecue's telling me South Dakota, Middle Tennessee, Memphis, and Vanderbilt are hopefully wins for them. But they could lose to Vanderbilt. They could lose to Memphis. So that's 4. I'm going to give them one more win from some upset and 5-7. Again, the barbecue whispers 5-7, 5-7.
I feel it.
Yeah, and they're going to need, like, the way that we beat them last year to get the fifth win. They're going to need, like, Kentucky fumbling
something really
on their own.
Stupid to happen.
Yeah, they're going to need Kentucky to fumble into their own end zone on the last play of the game when they're down 5. You know, exactly. So, good
and
lord,
this is the team that played Georgia the closest last year.
Unbelievable. But that's what I'm saying. They're going to have a game like that and find a way to win.
That's
right. They played Georgia great, and they found a way to give us the. When they're playing us, it's like, no, you take it. 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 Nobody wanted to take it. All right. So we've looked at Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri. Got 3 more to go in the East. Who's up next?
The poultry.
It's the poultry. Carolina. It's time for the poultry. Poultry. It's poultry in motion.
blame yourself?
I don't have facts to back this up.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Let's do it. Oh, I got it. Here comes the poultry in motion. Smoked turkey. I didn't get any chicken this year. Turkey's close enough. And
I got a bunch of turkeys anyway. What's it feeling to you? Some potential in that turkey?
Well, the barbecue is reminding me how they finished last season, which was insane. But we don't know what to read from that because they weren't that good, and they weren't that good, and then all of a sudden they were just world beaters. So what do you take from that?
That they're wildly inconsistent?
Yeah. I'm looking at their schedule. I mean, there's 4 or 5 games that they could easily lose, and there's others that they could lose. But yet, with that schedule, if they play the way they did in the last year, they could legitimately go 9-3.
They play North Carolina at the Open. They play Clemson at the end.
Yep.
They play at Texas A&M. They got Georgia in there.
Tennessee
in there. Who's at? It's at Tennessee this time, and they're going to be dying for revenge in that game.
Oh, you know it.
So, I think there's a lot of positive momentum. I think they've turned into some good stuff, but I think they've lost some good players.
Okay.
And I think the schedule is just tough. So I think they're going to be good, and I think they're going to beat some of these teams. But I mean, to me, like, if they went 8-4 again, that would be success.
7-5. The barbecue is whispering 7-5 to me. Who am I to argue? But
I think a lot of teams are just going to keep knocking each other off back and forth.
Their ceiling is 10-2, but they're not going to go 10-2, barring a miracle. But they could. All right.
They had the best special teams in America last year by a large amount. I think they'll be good in that area again, but it's not going to be that great.
All right. South Carolina's done. We got to go up to Rocky Top, don't we?
We do. It's time for the volunteers.
Well, I'm not a crook.
All right. What is, let me see, Tennessee. Interesting matchup with Virginia. That'll be fun. Austin Peay at Florida. San Antonio, South Kakalaki, open.
Pause. The best non-conference team they play and the team on this schedule they should be worried about is University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA.
Beep, beep.
That's the trap game, the Roadrunners.
I haven't gotten to use that one in so long. I don't even think I have it on here anymore.
It's a trap.
There. It's on here.
Oh, it's a world coming to.
What the hell is the world coming to?
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Thank you.
It's a trap.
There you go. Watch out for the Roadrunners. That's what they always tell Coyote. Now they got to tell old Blue Tick Hound. So, they're going to lose to... they're going to lose to Alabama. They didn't lose to Alabama last year. All right, before we ask the barbecue, I want to know, how does Tennessee compare to last year's Tennessee team?
The big difference makers, they lost a couple of them. The quarterback went to the NFL and their best receiver went to the NFL, right? Hyatt and Hendon Hooker. Hooker was really good. He was a very good player. So they got a guy, Milton, who replaces him, who's got a super strong arm, but he's not the same decision maker as Hooker, and he's not as good an athlete or as good a runner. But I think this is going to be the test. Is it the system and the other talent around him, or were those guys just special?
Right.
I think they're going to be good. The offenses, people have called it kind of a cheat code kind of thing. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think the defense was bad last year. That's what happened in that South Carolina game. They couldn't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee defense was a wet paper bag at the end of last year. So, they get A&M and Alabama from the West.
Which is a mystery. We don't know what to think about A&M, so it's hard to make a – see, that's the thing. Yeah. There's two teams that to me are kind of a big mystery are Florida and Texas A&M. They both are programs that can produce really good teams, but they've also been kind of crap lately. So it's really hard to know.
But so I think Tennessee's going to be very good again, but I don't think they're going to be quite as good as last year, but I think they'll be fun again.
So 9-3 is what you're thinking? I don't think I had the barbecue. Let me have just a Let me just make sure I get this covered.
I think they've recruited well. They have some good talent, offensive line, running back.
9-3.
He's telling me 9-3, John.
I believe.
All right. Who am I to argue? Oh, there's only one team left in the East, and then we get to move to the division that people actually care about.
The Doors.
Let's look at – let's slam the doors.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
I don't have facts to back this
Crush up. Crush your enemies. See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Those are things you hear at Vanderbilt.
I was going to say, the only time anybody's ever heard that quote at Vanderbilt is when they played that movie in the Student Act building.
And to hear the lamentations of the Vandy Commodores.
You know what? This piece was a little better than it's been in the recent years, I think. Maybe they've been kind of shaky and they're getting their crap together.
Well, considering that they're in the SEC, they don't have a horribly unmanageable schedule. They can beat Alabama A&M. They got to go to Wake Forest, or as I like to call them, Wake Florist, in the battle of my encyclopedia hurts more when I hit you with it than yours does. At UNLV?
Oh, yes. We added a new column to the spreadsheet this year for those games where Van can shame SEC teams who are playing on the road for non-Power 5 teams, and Vanderbilt is playing at UNLV.
All right. I got to say this. I appreciated your little spreadsheet on this. It was very helpful. You do have the column of shame, which I very much appreciated. But I looked it over, and I feel like three of them at least, well, there's three in total. There's three members of the column of shame this year. Vanderbilt plays at UNLV. Alabama plays at South Florida.
It's because they're poor, man. They don't have the money to pay for a home game.
Yeah. And Ole Miss at Tulane. Now, here's the thing. When like Missouri plays at Toledo, I feel no empathy whatsoever. I bring down the pain on them. Vanderbilt at UNLV, when you realize that you're talking about like that new NFL stadium probably, right? You're not playing at some high school field. They're playing at like a nice... So it's almost like they're going to play an exhibition game in Vegas against the local team. So I'll cut, and it's Vanderbilt. So I'll
say they should do the Alabama thing. They play this at the end of the year, call it their bowl game.
Oh, yeah, that's the Vegas Bowl. Yeah, absolutely. That's totally an Alabama move, 100%. So I'll cut Vanderbilt slack on this. That's cool. Ole Miss at Tulane, they can invoke the special rule, which is it's an ancient rivalry.
And Tulane won that conference last year. They won the AAC, so they're good.
So I'm not going to shame Ole Miss. I'm going to salute them just for the tradition of it all, right? That's a famous rivalry. They've played each other a lot over the years. If they want to go down to Tulane and play...
Their fans get to go party in New Orleans all weekend. So.
But, Alabama at South Florida, make it make sense to me.
They're saving several million dollars.
Who is?
Alabama.
By?
The price of a non-conference home game is about $1.5 million, Van. And so in this case, they're getting like two South Florida visits to Tuscaloosa in exchange for one Alabama visit down there and probably paying them nothing or a couple hundred grand.
So when Alabama walks in that stadium holding up their checkbooks and their accounting sheets and saying, look how smart we are, the people in that stadium and all over the SEC will look at them and say,
there they are. Are they not a shame on their country? Are they not a disgrace to all civilized beings? Has not even the Reverend Ebenezer Slither declared them so?
Or Nick Saban.
And they'll say, we're just going down there to recruit South Florida for our fans down there. It's a bunch of crap, but they don't have to play that game down there.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, I think we're done with the East. if you want to take a look at what's going on in our live chat, I might have another bite here, and then we'll get into the West where people actually care.
You're going to eat in between any intermission?
Just cornbread. Got a lot of cornbread to work my way through here.
Jeremy Benton says he's going to homecoming on the 16th against Samford.
Nice.
Listen, you mean former Terry Bowden coach Samford.
That's right. I'm going to have to go get something else to drink after all this cornbread. Auburn should go to UCF, says Josh. Oh, we didn't do a Vandy prediction, did we? Didn't get a number.
Oh, yeah. We got busy talking about Alabama and didn't answer Vanderbilt. I'm going to say Vanderbilt won two SEC games last year, went 5-7 overall.
Okay. Right.
And I think they're gradually getting better. I'm going to say they're flirting with bowl eligibility again, but 5-7.
So they beat A&M, Alabama A&M. Don't get crazy.
Hawaii.
Where's Hawaii?
They play Hawaii this coming Saturday.
Oh, that was not even on here. Okay. So 2, 3, 4. So they're going to start 4-0, depending on what happens with Wake Forest. And they just got to win one more game for that. But I don't know if they're going to win one more game. I mean, the most likely team they're going to win is
they can
Missouri?
Pick off a Missouri or Kentucky or, you know, Florida or whoever if they're having a really bad day.
All right. We'll count on an upset to get them to 5. But barbecue's telling me 4-8. 4-8. But we'll see.
We got to be ready. We go up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I was going to be at that game, but I'm not going to be able to now. It really, really hurts. But got to do what I got to do. All right, I think it's time to cross over, isn't it?
Let's go to the West.
Let's go to where they play big boy, big boots football, where they play, and they also have this bunch of in ungrateful. I mean, why we put up with them?
Someone knows. God knows.
Yeah. I look at Nick Saban and I just think.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Yeah, you are. So. Let's do it.
Can I say something about that before we eat the barbecue?
Yeah.
He bought the retirement house, okay? If you missed it, he spent a whole bunch of money on a super expensive retirement house in Florida. He ain't paying that, you know, as an investment to go there 10 years from now.
Airbnb. It's his Airbnb, yeah. Right?
Listen, if he rented that sucker out, we shouldn't rent it.
Oh, man. All right, there's only one I got to do when I got to deal with Alabama.
Smoke weed every day.
Let's go to the barbecue. Here it comes. Oh, jeez. Kind of tastes pachydermy.
Pretty good.
Well, it's been better.
Yeah, that's right. Not as good as it has been.
Mm.
Maybe they changed pitmasters or something.
Week 2, John.
Texas and Tuscaloosa. They barely beat them last year.
It shouldn't
Austin.
Have after they
now
injured their quarterback.
There.
Yeah, it's in Alabama.
They lost two games last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee and LSU. They get both those teams at home.
Yeah.
They go to Kentucky from the east.
They go to another team over in the west that I like. And they go to Texas A&M. They go to Mississippi State. Of course, they never lose to Mississippi State because that's the law.
Never.
Ever. Ole Miss, man, we'll see. Do you see two losses there?
They've lost a bunch of talent. And I think they got a good offensive line. They're going to try to run the ball more. But again, they lost basically the, you know, top quarterback in the NFL draft, the top defensive player in the NFL draft. They got two new coordinators. You know, Tommy Rees is from Notre Dame, the new offensive coordinator. Kevin Steele, the new defensive coordinator. Some Alabama fans, of course, think that's an upgrade over their last guy. We'll talk about him in a minute. But
Boris doesn't understand that Kevin Steele could be for Alabama.
We just got this place a week.
Wasn't he an Alabama coach years ago, though, before we got him?
Yeah. Long before he went to LSU and we hired. I think Alabama's going to be good, but I think there is going to be a quarterback drop-off from the last 5 years, and I think the receivers aren't as good either. So I think – yeah, they're clearly a step behind Georgia, and I think that continues. Man, 10-2.
Georgia and Auburn.
They don't play Georgia the regular season. I'm going to say 10-2.
Well, there's Texas, there's Ole Miss, there's A&M, there's Tennessee, there's LSU, and there's Auburn. There are teams on their schedule that can get the Lord's work done if the ball bounces the right way.
Oh, for a muse of fire.
Amen.
I like it. All right. Who's next?
The game we are going to, Van, Arkansas.
Ooh, yeah. The game we are going to.
Get a little sauce on this one.
And
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
God bless it!
I made sure I had some pork for this one. I got to be honest. Year in and year out, I always enjoy the Arkansas prediction because it's delicious.
And I think it's been a little better. I think that the barbecue for this one feels like it dropped off a little.
Yeah. I mean, they got a stretch kind of in the early middle of the season. Their schedule is kind of like a mountain. It's easy, and it gets harder and harder, and then it gets easier again. And honestly,
and then in that hard stretch, they do not play a home game for like a month and a half.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because like, let's see, they got Western Carolina, Kent State, and BYU at home. Then they go at LSU at the end of September 23rd. Texas A&M, that must be like a neutral site.
Dallas.
Game.
That's the Dallas game.
At Ole Miss, at Alabama, and then you get Mississippi State at home. But then they're off, and then they're at Florida. So they have one home game. Arkansas has one home game between September 16th and the Auburn game November 11th. One between September 16th and November 11th. We must be their homecoming game. Huh?
Maybe. I hope we are.
Oh, I love ruining people's homecoming. All right. The barbecue is telling me they're going to win their first couple. BYU at home.
That's a tough game.
I don't know.
Like an SEC game, they're gonna beat you up, mm-hmm. and that's gonna be a physical game. And then, like you said, not long after that, they got LSU and A&M, right? So
they're gonna punch you right in the Nauvoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they got at LSU, Texas A&M, at Ole Miss, at Alabama, Mississippi State, at Florida, Auburn. Well, I tell you this, I like that their open week is before Florida, and then we get them the very next week.
Yeah.
So they get to rest up and prepare to go down to the Gators and let the Gators beat up on them a little bit. Then they come home and
that's right,
punch them in the mouth.
They got a pretty good offensive line. But again, they only won three conference games last year.
Yeah.
And they got two new coordinators. They got rid of Kendall Briles. He left. They got Dan Enos, the guy that snuck out on Nick Saban in the middle of the night instead of telling him he was leaving. And they got their defensive coordinator, someone you may be aware of, Travis Williams. So
mm-hmm.
I think that road slate is going to be a problem for them. And I think that's it's kind of tough in the middle. I mean, I think BYU is no gimme. And then, the LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama, they may be really beat up by the time they go to Florida and then play us. So
I'm going to tell you a little secret, John. Arkansas, under this current coach, Pittman, is virtually the same team they were under Burt. Hey, Beavis. They're the same team. And they get all this hype, and everybody thinks they're so good now, and they go 6-6. The days of Petrino taking them to the freaking Orange Bowl and whatever are long gone, and Pittman's not doing it.
No, you're right. They went 7-6 last year, but they won three SEC games, mm-hmm. one more than Vanderbilt,
yep.
and four non-conference games.
That's it. Arkansas is currently and has been for a couple of years overrated. They are.
I'm feeling 6-6, man.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah, 6-6. They're the picture. They're the photograph, the oil painting of a 6-6 team.
Agree.
All right, we're moving right along. We got to go down to the bio. Gots to go down to the bio. Got to save enough for Auburn. I had one bean just now, one bean. I'm trying to be in conservation mode now. How many we got left? Uh-oh. I may run out.
That's some pretty tasty barbecue there, man.
Yeah, it was. Better than expected. I did not think it would be that good last year. Are they going to do it again?
Do it again is relative.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be good again. Will they be in the SEC title game? Maybe.
I don't know.
They got to go to Tuscaloosa. They get Florida. They got to go. Their road game from the East is Missouri. They do play FSU in the opener that Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. That's the big non-conference game. So, You know, I think they got a really good offensive line. They got a lot of, they got the best returning receiver in the SEC. The most productive returning receiver. They got two good quarterbacks. They got really excellent young defensive player who's a havoc creator. So, and they have the head coach and the two coordinators back from last year, and they showed they could improve that team during the season, coach them up. They look, kind of crappy in that FSU game, and they fixed a lot of stuff. And the biggest problem they had last year, honestly, was special teams, and they replaced that coach with a different special teams coach. So I think they're going to be pretty solid again.
Ceiling is 11-1, but they're not going to go 11-1. But the basement is like 9-3 with this schedule.
Sure. Yes.
And Josh is right. Auburn did hang with them last year. But then they turn around and beat Alabama.
That was bizarre. Yeah.
We should have beaten them. We absolutely should have beaten them. Not just that Auburn should have beaten them. They should have lost to...
Potato.
They should have.
I was going to say, we should have beaten them, the Brian Harsin story.
Yeah. That's well done.
That's a... Please clap.
That's good.
I'm going to say, I'm thinking 10-2.
Yeah, the barbecue's whispering 10-2 to me, and I can't deny it. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, we hung with them last year, but nice going piece. Down there, I don't know. I don't know.
No. No, I don't feel good about going down to the bayou. Oh, I stirred Boris up again. He doesn't like negativity. Boris, your tail is getting in the barbecue. Get out of the way. That's not, you can lick on your tail. Yeah, 10-2, I think, for LSU. But I tell you, it was impressive that they were as mediocre as they were when they played us, and then by the end of the season, they looked like a very solid team. I was impressed. Yeah. All right, who's next? Oh, geez.
The Akbars, the Ole Miss Rebels.
It's a trap!
God bless it!
Oh, freaking miss. My last piece of turkey just went down.
Tell me how you really feel about Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah. I did pick the right sound effect, didn't I? That was good. Didn't even mean to. That's kind of a subconscious thing. All right, Ole Miss, gentlemen, ladies. Jeremy makes a good point. Hold on.
Potato.
One at the bayou, freeze can too. I agree. It could. I mean, it seems all nice and muggy and warm down in the bayou right now, but...
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
That's true. We'll see, but anyway. Ole Miss. Oh, they're taking the Mercer Express. They're at Tulane, which, yeah, we talked about. Georgia, that's an interesting opening stretch there. You go, talk about climbing the mountain. You go, Mercer... At Tulane, Georgia Tech, at Alabama, LSU. So Georgia, we'll know a little.
It's more like Tulane, Georgia Tech,
yeah, at Alabama. Yeah. We'll know a lot more about Ole Miss after 3 or 4 or 5 weeks than we – we'll know as much as we need to at that point. Of course, you could have said that last year and you'd have been wrong. They got an open week before us because I'm not going to say God wills it. That's just not fair. Stupid open week.
No, I think that's they're going to be all in that game.
Lane wills it. Lane wills it.
They got a pretty tough schedule
because they do.
I mean, from the east, they got to go to Georgia, so that's an L. And they're not beating Alabama.
No, I got 7-5 right now at best, which would make me happy. By the way, they're going to lose to Alabama. They're going to lose to LSU. They're going to lose to Auburn. They're going to lose to Georgia, and they're either going to lose to A&M. Mississippi State or Arkansas. They're going to lose at least one of those. So 7-5.
Yep, I buy that. And again, last year they had a great year. Remember they collapsed down the stretch, won the last several games of the season to finish 8-5 after being really hot. So
yeah. Let's see, a couple of comments. Tennessee pounded LSU with an offense that may be similar to what we run. I like it. I like the prospect is thinking there. Logan says, for the record, when making the spreadsheet, I had MSU before Ole Miss, and you doing them first because they're Mississippi made me crazy. Alphabetical problems there. Richard Butler says, offer Lane a job before we play him, yeah. And then Auburn Elvis says, Old Miss Barbecue, everyone raves about how good it is, but you never hear about it winning any cook-offs. That's good. So, I think, what did we say for Ole Miss, 7-5?
7-5.
7-5.
Scott Wilson!
This is true.
There you go. All right. We're in the home stretch now, folks. There's only three teams left to go. One of them, of course, is the other Bulldogs from Mississippi State.
Cowbell time.
Let's go. I don't have any cowbell on here. I need more cowbell. Even if I had, like, Don't Fear the Reaper, that would be good.
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
There you go.
No! No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated! They're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! This is the worst! No!
Oh, so good. All right. Mississippi State Bulldogs with their new coach. God rest their former coach. We enjoyed him so much. Where are they on here? I can't even find them. Oh, here they are. Logan, you will be happy to know that on the chart I'm looking at, they are alphabetically listed ahead of Ole Miss. In fact, they're even listed ahead of Missouri.
Not so whatever. Country.
On this one they are. So, all right, they play. Who is SLU?
Southeastern Louisiana.
Okay. All right, whatever. How many freaking schools does it live in? Arizona, it's interesting. I always like when an SEC team plays Arizona because they don't ever get on my radar very much. If it wasn't for that run in the 90s, Arizona would be perilously close to joining Rutgers on that list that North Carolina State recently escaped off of.
Who is that team you mentioned before North Carolina State?
I don't know. They almost made that list, though.
I didn't hear anything.
I know. That's the way it goes. All right. So they're going to lose to LSU. They're going to lose at South Carolina. They're going to lose to Alabama. They're going to lose at Auburn. Kentucky will be close. I don't know. They're going to lose at Texas A&M. Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl, is always a shootout. You never know. Flip of the coin. Oh, they play Southern Miss. Oh, look. I didn't realize that this year. Mississippi State ends the year doing the Mississippi Tango. They got Southern Miss and then Ole Miss with Mississippi State. Hats off to them. I like that.
I think the legislature made them play Southern Miss. I'm not sure chose that.
See, but here's what's funny. Back in our day, Southern Miss was the best of the three consistently.
They were consistently better than the other two, and now they're forgotten. Yeah,
because of the SEC.
I think Mississippi State's doing the big change, right? They're going from, because the previous coach passed away, they're going from the air raid to they brought the offense that Appalachian State ran, which is kind of a wide zone running scheme. It's the opposite. But Will Rogers is still there. They still got some good talent. Especially
I can't believe he didn't transfer somewhere. That blew my mind that he stays for that. I mean, think if he come to Auburn.
Well, I think he's going to be effective. I just think they're not going to throw the ball 60 times a game, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very different from the offensive line. And this guy is a first-time head coach in the SEC. That's not good, right? Yeah. So when you're not completely prepared for it. So they went 9-4 last year, partially because Ole Miss collapsed. Yeah. But I'm going to say, with that schedule and with the changes and stuff, 7-5, what do you feel?
Yeah. 7-5 at best, 6-6. The basement is like 5-7. The penthouse is like 7-5, honestly, because you got LSU. Okay. I mean, that's if they beat Arizona. They got LSU. South Carolina is going to be dangerous for them. Alabama. At Arkansas is dangerous for them. At Auburn is dangerous for them. They got Kentucky, Texas A&M. We don't know. And then the Ole Miss game. They could seriously go 5-7 if they're, and still win some close games. So I think 6-6, honestly.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. 6-6.
All right. Well, we got two more to go. Next up, the Collie Dogs. The fluffy little Collie Dogs from the cult.
From College Station.
Yeah, the Collies from Collie Station. That's what I said when that little Collie Dog was talking to me I'll tell you one place that Texas A&M is not going, even though there are people talking about it.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, you ain't getting no playoffs. All right. I got one piece of barbecue left now after this. I got two beans left. I got one piece of macaroni and cheese left.
Van, this this piece of barbecue, it's like schizophrenic. Like part of it's delicious, part of it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's up, it's down. I don't know which way it's going. It's a little bit crazy.
They brought in a new pit master at the last minute to try to boost it a little bit.
I think actually what they got is they got like two pit masters and they're both running behind each other like seasoning and turning the stuff, and it's just a mess.
It does seem like a possible mess when you cook your barbecue that way. All right, New Mexico at Miami. That's interesting.
Miami sucks.
Yeah, well. Monroe. I'm going to say Louisiana Monroe on my thing. It just says Monroe. Like they're playing Monroe from Too Close for Comfort. Auburn, early in the year this year. Surprisingly early. Arkansas, Alabama, at Tennessee, South Carolina, Ole Miss. All right, so it's another one of these schedules that gets kind of tough in the middle and then finishes at LSU, who always wins that game. So let's just give them credit that they'll be better than they were last year, because honest to goodness, they could scarcely be worse than they were last year.
Well, the same overall record and same number of SEC wins as Vanderbilt last year.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. No team that we talked about tonight has a wider variance than A&M, right?
Yeah, well, they just don't know.
They could literally go 10-2.
Yep.
Or they could go 3-9.
They could.
I think you have to bet on the is the Bobby Petrino Jimbo thing going to work? I think they have the talent.
Here's the thing to me.
Coaching works.
Yeah. Here's the thing to me. The barbecue is telling me 8-4, but it has no idea which 8 and which 4. You know what I mean? In other words, with the other teams, I can say that game, they lose. That game, they lose. With this one,
yep.
They're going to lose 4, but they could lose Alabama or not. They could lose Tennessee or not. They could lose South Carolina. They could lose Ole Miss. They could lose LSU. They could lose Auburn. They could lose Miami. I mean, they're going to lose 4 of those. I just don't know which 4. That seems safe.
It's very tough for me because I think it's either going to work or it's going to blow implode and it's going to be the Hindenburg, right?
Yeah.
So I literally think it's either going to be like 9-3 or 5-7, 4-8. I don't know if it could be in between. I think they're either going to be really good and it's going to work.
Yeah, it's either going to work or it's not. Yeah.
And I just think like, I see it like in the first few games, they're playing those bad teams and it's working and the offense is rolling up and down the field. Petrino's getting a bunch of hype for saving the team and the offense and stuff. And Jimbo's like, that guy, he's no genius. And then like he grabs the steering wheel back. We have seen this movie before. Okay.
We have. Yeah.
And it does not end well.
No.
Having said that, I like your 8-4 pick because I think it's going to be an absolute roller coaster, and I can't wait to watch this team and see them drive this car off the road and screw it up.
This motorcycle, you mean?
The motorcycle. They're going to wipe it out. They're, you know, on the side of the road with somebody in the back. But again, they got Steve Addazio as the offensive line coach. He was the former – with Urban Meyer at Florida, but then he was the head coach at Boston College. He was the head coach at Colorado State, and now he's the offensive line coach at A&M. He's another guy with a big ego in that room. So it's never been great, great under Jimbo, and I think I have a lot of respect for Petrino. I think he's a great offensive coach, but this is a volatile mix.
At best. Well, the official fight song of Texas A&M is... last year anyway. John, there's a few things in life that are really good. Some of the things that are really good in life.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of their women.
Bama fans. And that brings me to a team where, you know, there's some people walking through a door, but
Potato
is not walking through that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
Because, instead...
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming.
And maybe, just maybe, maybe not this year, but maybe soon...
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Well...
Hey, we gotta get better at celebrating.
If that's true, we'll see. Because...
Scott Wilson!
There you go. All right. So I think
it's time to eat the barbecue, Van.
It's time to eat the last little piece. Josh says Thorne is coming through that door, and he's bringing some of his friends with him, too. Look at this. You saw how this thing looked when we started. But here it is. There it is. The last piece of barbecue. I'm the last bean, the last macaroni, the last potato hash brown casserole. I got to load up here. You know what's funny? When we get off this show, I'm going to edit the audio and post it and then go to bed with all this in my belly. God help me. But I had to.
God bless it!
That's just how it is when the barbecue speaks. Oh, Josh asked a very important question we haven't addressed yet. And that is, John, what is our, who's our offensive coordinator?
Philip Montgomery.
Boris says, this thing on 12-0. There it is. There it is.
There they are.
There you go. Boris says 12-0.
That is but he not always... the barbecue prediction.
No. Boris, did you actually eat any barbecue?
He's
but you
a vegetarian.
Just you just always think 12-0, don't you? So take it for with a grain of salt. Boris, you better put your headset on here. Listen to the coaches. What's going on? What's happening here? What? Talk to the coaches. You don't need to hear this part. Now he's like he's in the quiet room where he won't hear anything. Talk to the coaches with his little headset. All right. The Auburn Tigers. I have heard of them. Well, we know who they start with.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
So that should be a win, I hope. I'm going to be on a panel at DragonCon, so I won't be seeing it live.
Next week, we have plenty of time to talk about the UMass team, but I'm going to go ahead and drop this one down. The Athletic today ranked every Division I team from 1 to 133.
Yeah.
UMass was 133.
Oh, wow. Wow. I feel almost guilty for hating them.
No. More.
More hate. Okay.
What the
heck? I tell you what, if Kathy, if you're still listening... If you happen to be at the Babylon 5 panel, you can signal me from the crowd if there's a score or something.
All right, can I give you my thoughts?
Let's have it.
Are you ready?
I think we're all ready.
All right, I'm going to start with a couple of things I'm worried about, and then I'm going to get into the positives. Okay.
Yep.
Number one, the talent gap is still there. They've done a great job improving the roster. But there's a, you know, difference between where we are and where Georgia and Alabama are. One good offseason doesn't totally fix that. Probably two good offseasons don't totally fix that. But we're moving in the right direction. Run defense is still a problem. I'm not expecting it to be dramatically better. And it was really bad last year. So we have a great secondary and a bad run defense. Teams aren't going to try to throw the ball on us. They're going to be running. So that's a concern. And then I think... We have the overall talent of the roster is better, but I don't think, as we talked about when we talked about the All-SEC team, I don't think we have a lot of guys who are like All-SEC level difference makers at key positions. We have a lot of solid SEC players, but I don't think we have a lot of guys who are like, you know, going to end up being All-SEC at the end of the year. So that's the things I'm worried about. So here's some things I'm going to start talking about. And the theme I want you to take away from this is that small improvement across many areas at some point becomes cumulative and makes you better. Okay. When you get a little better over here, a little better over here, a little better over there, that adds up ultimately to you being just plain better. The first thing is something I said before, which is that maybe the single biggest improvement on this team is the gigantic difference in improvement between Potato's old offensive coordinator, who was his third or fourth choice for the job and wasn't qualified, and he knew it and others knew it. The gap from him up to Philip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze is enormous. okay? It is as big a coaching improvement as any team in college football made this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So that by itself matters. The second thing is the offensive line is better. Like, we've had years of terrible offensive line play. We have forgotten what it's like to just be competent on the offensive line. And this offensive line is going to be solid. It's not going to be dominating, but just solid, which is so much better. We have gotten so used to the snap the ball and run for your life, or snap the ball and the defense is in the backfield hitting Tank Bigsby 2 yards deep.
Poor Tank. I feel so bad for Tank. He did not deserve what he had to deal with last year.
So I think there's going to be a lot less of those negative plays, and the quarterbacks, you're not going to have all day, but they'll have time to actually complete the play and not be that snap the ball and run for your life like we've been the past several years. That by itself is going to be a huge improvement. The next thing is something that we found that, you know, especially at the end of last year, this, and that we've heard through this offseason, this team can run the ball. Yes, Tank was great, and I think he's going to be a good NFL player, and he's going to be so good at times in the NFL, people are going to go, where the heck was that guy? But there's a lot of talent in that running back room, and with a better offensive line, this team's going to be able to run the ball well. Now, not starting Ashford does hurt the running game a little bit because he really opened things up for them. Teams were afraid of him running the ball, and that they caused him to line up differently, but the offensive line, the running backs, we got good big physical receivers, good big physical experienced tight ends. We're going to be able to block people and run the ball on all but one or two teams we play this year. We will be moving the ball consistently on the ground, and that by itself is a good foundation for this team. The receivers, better overall talent and depth than we've had in at least 5 to 10 years. I'm not kidding. This is the best group of receivers in a while. Not a bunch of All-Americans, but there's depth. And there's talent in there, and there's guys that could go out and make plays.
And yet they're still considered like the weakest link on the entire team, even though they're so much better.
And it says something about where they were, right? But also, they have to go out and make plays. They got to go out and prove it, but there's potential there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next reason for optimism is simple. Rivaldo Fairweather. This guy was the first recruit that Freeze and them went out and got. The very first one, before the offensive tackles, before the defensive linemen, before the linebackers, before the quarterbacks, they called this guy. And he's going to be the safety valve and kind of a cheat code for the offense. When it's 3rd and 5, it's Rivaldo Fairweather time. So write it down. That guy is going to be in the top 2 or 3 in the team in catches and be very productive, and he's going to be the quarterback's best friend.
And if he's not, he'll draw double coverage and pull away from somebody else, like out of the backfield or in the flat or a receiver running a slant or something, yeah.
When teams start respecting him, other stuff's going to be open.
It'll open up other stuff, yep.
Now, I did say the run defense I'm worried about, but the secondary is going to be really good. I think a year from now, 4 of the 5 players in the secondary are going to be in the NFL. Okay, so 4 of our 5 secondary players will be in the NFL a year from now.
I like it.
That's pretty good. Their ceiling as a secondary is way up there. They could be great. They need a little bit of pass rush to help them, and I think we can do that. I think we can give them that. But they have the potential to be good and to help with the run defense and take some things away from the other teams. Here's one not a lot of people are talking about. Special teams were kind of blah last year. We talked about this in the offseason position previews. We had some problems with coverage. We had some problems with returns. Now, we have an excellent punter. We got a talented young kicker. And we got Brian Battee, who's already an all-conference pick as kickoff return guy. He hasn't even played yet.
Hadn't even put on a uniform yet. Yeah, barely, yeah.
That's it. I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and between him and the improved kicking, improved punting, and improved coverage, we're talking about a few yards better for us and a few yards worse for the other team on every single drive, and that's going to add up over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
One that's a simple one, it's easy to pick, is this team is buying in more. They are more motivated, they care more, they want to be there more. Remember, we went into last season coming off the big potato off season with the scandal and the Mexico standoff and all that stupidity. This team... A lot of the players are in there came because they want to play for this coaching staff and play for Auburn, and I think it's going to matter.
Yeah, that's right.
The next thing is quarterback play. Peyton Thorne will be solid and consistent. That sounds not great, But it's been a long time since we had a consistently solid and productive quarterback.
17? Well, 19, but he had issues in 19.
Yeah, Bo Nix was up and down and up and down. His highs were high, but his lows were very low. And so I think Thorne is going to be steady and productive and solid. And that's going to be such a relief to Auburn fans to have a quarterback that we know we're going to get. I think it's going to be like Stidham.
Yeah.
You know, like Stidham in 17. I think
with,
that's
with,
really
with Robbie behind him coming in to do some other stuff and shake it up a little bit.
But also, with Robbie behind him, where we're not going to panic, the season is over if Thorne gets knocked out for a quarter, right? I mean, I think we'll be okay. The other part is this team is going to get better as the season goes along. We know there's a lot of these receivers we just talked about are new. A lot of other players are new. I think this team's going to get dramatically better from the team you see in California to week 5 and 6 to week 10. I think this team's going to get better and better and better.
Yep.
The players figure out what they're doing. The coaches figure out what they can do well. And I have a lot of – again, I talked about Montgomery earlier. I feel the same way about Roberts on defense. They're going to be able to coach with some of these other SEC staffs who we weren't able to do the last couple of years. So I think that's a huge thing. We're going to actually use depth and rotate players on both sides of the ball. We didn't do that the last 2 years. And at the end of the half and at the end of the game – that's going to be like a little extra 5 to 10% more in effectiveness that we're going to see from this team. That was a huge problem, and we're not going to see that going forward. I think that by itself is worth a lot.
Yes.
I think we have some young guys for the, you know, it'll for the first time in a while, we have some young guys that I think are absolute studs that are going to play and be allowed to play and make a difference. You know, Kayan Lee, Keldrick Falk, Caleb Burton, those kind of guys are going to get out there and make plays, and it's going to be really good for us. And then the last two things I want to say is, like, we have better talent on this roster. Like, from 1 to 85, we've improved the overall roster talent. We don't have a bunch of guys that are in the, you know, the top 10 players in the SEC and stuff. But I think from, like, player 40 to player 85, we have a lot more guys who are solid SEC-level players than we had before. And that depth matters. When we get to the second half of the season and the team's been beating on you and stuff, we have guys that could step in and play. So those are a whole bunch of little things that all got better, and the cumulative effect of those small improvements is going to add up into a more competent and competitive football team. So I think that – but what I want to say is that's relative. We're starting from where we were last year. I don't think this team is going to the playoff, despite Van playing the sound clip there. But I think we're going to have real hope from all of these things and from the what we saw.
Well, John, you said a lot of stuff there, but all I heard was...
Freeze. Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice. Winter. Forever frozen. Ice. Freeze. Winter ice.
Ice.
Freeze. Winter. Winter. Freeze. Cold. Frosty.
There you go. That's what I heard. I don't know about the rest of you. You know, John, I just agree with everything you said there, but I also would say, you know, all year long people ask us, how's Auburn going to do this year? I get asked quite often, how's Auburn going to do? And I always say, wait for the barbecue. So this night every year marks the first moment for the new season that you and I are allowed to give our views and the barbecue's views. Everybody's saying Frosty in the comments. To give the views of how the actual number of how many wins we're going to have. And I always look forward to that, right? Because all year I have to say, well, no, wait for the barbecue. Yeah. I think we'll be
this. You have to show the restraint, and it's tough.
It's tough, but we do it. What's your number?
8-4.
8-4. There it is.
There they are.
I don't know. As we said with A&M, I'm not positive about all the 8 and all the 4, but I'm going to say this. I think we're going to give Alabama hell in that game in December, the end of November. When they come to Jordan
yes,
here,
as always,
they
yes,
are going to
yes.
get all they want.
As always, yes, yes. Another big win.
I think we're going to lose to Georgia. I think we're going to lose to LSU.
What did he say? What did that man say? What did my co-host say?
LSU. I think...
What? I can't hear anything. Is this thing on? Forrest, just go back over there and listen to the coaches.
Yep. Maybe A&M lose that game. But I think by the end of the year, we're better.
Yeah.
And I think it's making a big difference.
All right. It's Georgia. It's at LSU. And
he's
after
shaking his head.
It's all right. Those two, I feel like, and again, it's because it's at LSU. If it was at home, I'd feel good. I feel like those two are our most likely to lose. Georgia and at LSU. Okay, put those on the shelf. At Texas A&M, Ole Miss, at Arkansas, and Alabama, I feel like we split those two and two. But I don't know which two. I mean, I'm not saying we don't beat Alabama. We could lose to Arkansas. I'm just saying hypothetically, we could lose to Arkansas and Ole Miss, or Arkansas and A&M, and then beat Alabama. I have no problem predicting that. By the way, I hope we do beat Arkansas, since we're going and taking my entire family and my extended.
We are going to Arkansas. If you want to see us in person, we will be at Fayetteville.
Yeah, join us in Fayetteville. We'll be there all weekend.
We are not predicting that we're going to lose a road game we attend.
Boris is calling our listeners, apparently, on this headset to correct us. Yeah, no, we're taking the whole extended family to Arkansas for once, because my older daughter's boyfriend's dad just got a big job, like, in the administration at the University of Arkansas. So they're going, and my wife is going, my younger daughter Mira's going, of the Wishbone, and John and I'll be going. So it's going to be quite the little trek down to. But I am not going to the Vanderbilt game. What I realized late in the day. Was it? That's my, huh?
You're scared of going to Vanderbilt?
Yeah,
it's intimidating. Or?
No. I realized it's my wife's birthday, so I can't go to the Vanderbilt game. Can't mess that up. Definitely going to be here for the. I wish I could. I wait, you know. But here's the good news, though, right? We don't have to wait 6 or 12 years anymore for this garbage. It'll be every two out of every. Well, it'll be one out of every 4 years, basically. Right, because
one of every four at Missouri, and
yeah. So it'd be don't play them, play them in Auburn, play them away. So once every 4 years, we'll be at Missouri, we'll be at Vanderbilt, and I'll be happy. So I can't complain. I did want to go, but not if it's going to mess up that. So that's too important. Yeah, Josh is like, you better not go. No, exactly. I said to her, unless you want your birthday trip to be a trip to Nashville, and she's like, no. Oh well. All right, so yeah, 8-4. I thought about 9-3 for a hot minute.
We had a hard time finding the four.
Yeah,
you
want
to revise your statement?
I mulled over 9-3 for a hot minute, but the barbecue told me 8-4, and I can't.
See, and I think with the turnover, with a bunch of new players and new coaches, and I think it could be a thing where we lose a game we don't expect to, and then we beat Alabama then. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, I didn't really break it down from my perspective, but I feel like there's a couple of things I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the run defense that could bite us in the butt a couple of times that we don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned that there's going to come a point, like in the middle of the season, where defenses are able to shut down Fairweather and the other receivers haven't quite come up to speed yet, and we kind of lose the passing element for like a couple of games.
They which take could, away the run, we're going to have to prove it to them.
And that could hurt us, A&M, Georgia, LSU, before we kind of work it out again and hammer Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and hopefully Arkansas. So I it's like you say, I feel like I'm more worried about our own growing pains in a way than I am about our opponents. I feel like you could shuffle our opponents around and it wouldn't make that much difference about the number, because it's not the opponent so much as us.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm not, I think the ceiling is 9-3. The floor is like 6-6, but that's not going to happen. I feel like 8-4 is a pretty safe number. So, well, we made it. We did it enough.
Once again. We have completed the barbecue prediction episode.
I am. So, do we want to do the? I think we're gonna with the grace and good wishes of our patrons, we're gonna skip that for the concerns of time tonight. Since I've still gotta put all this away, edit the show, and go to bed because I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And we did have a extended live show that started late because of me being stupid. But yeah, do go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com, to become a patron. I will thank you all profusely next episode. Yes, John.
I have one thing before we go.
Yes.
Week zero this weekend. UMass at New Mexico State, 7 p.m. Eastern ESPN. Hawaii at Vanderbilt, 7:30 Eastern SEC Network.
Can't wait.
Navy Notre Dame from Ireland at 2:30 on NBC if you want to watch some of that. And then buckle up because you know what's coming on next week's show. UMass Hate Week 2023.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
That's it. All right. Up.
We have a special request from Wade. He says he and his wife are going to Cal, and she is listening. Can we hear that hate week?
The Cal hate week?
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
It's California Golden Bears Hate Week 2023. In the 10:30 p.m. Pac-12 time slot of...
Boris heard the alarm go off and thought it was time for the game. All right. John,
this was fun.
It was. Appreciate everybody. Yeah, Kathy, I'll see you in 9 days. Cannot wait. Atlanta's going to rock. We're going to have a good time. We're going to watch some SEC football. We're going to run around with the Klingons and the Stormtroopers and everything. Boris will be coming down, I guess, for at least the Arkansas game, maybe for Dragon Con. We'll see. And to see all of his fans. Don't forget, you can follow Boris at BorisAUTiger on Twitter for all of his pronouncements. Otherwise, John, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
What?
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.